You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, Dr. Gary Joyner takes a look back at a grand attempt to legislate morals in America, the Volstead Act, or Prohibition, and the lessons we learned from its failure and why its history matters.
Legislating morals has never been attempted with total success, but that doesn't mean that it hasn't been tried. The greatest attempt to legislate morals on a national scale in this country was the 18th Amendment to the Constitution, the prohibition of alcohol sales and consumption. From 1920 until 1933, this was the law of the land. It ushered in a wild time, the Roaring Twenties, with its speakeasies, gangsters, black marketeers, rum runners, moonshiners, and a post-World War I economy that defied logic and set the stage for the Great Depression. The end of the World War brought a wave of relief to American society and the firm belief that the war to end all wars did just that. The soldiers who had been to London and Paris came back with a wider knowledge of the world, and they wanted to enjoy the more relaxed freedoms of those great cities. Once home, they faced a Congress anxious to eliminate drinking across the country. Northern Republicans, Southern Democrats, and the Prohibition Party joined forces against large numbers of Catholics and German Americans, the latter discredited after the war. The temperance votes outnumbered wet votes 2-1, and the Volstead Act passed on October 28th, 1919. The 18th Amendment to the Constitution created prohibition. The movement against liquor in society took an almost evangelical aura. It was widely supported in rural areas by Protestant ministers, the Ku Klux Klan, which was then very powerful in the South and Midwest, and gained favor at the municipal and county levels, but not in most major cities. There was a lot of pandering to the cause, particularly in the South. Humorist Will Rogers said that the South is dry and will vote dry. That is, everybody's sober enough to stagger to the polls. The Volstead Act made it illegal to manufacture alcohol, to sell it, or transport it anywhere in the country. The flaw in the plan was that Canada, Mexico, and the islands of the Caribbean were all merrily distilling whiskey and brewing beer. Rum runners brought in the illegal spirits on a regular basis. Then, as today, America's borders were porous, and more illegal liquor entered the country than was destroyed at those borders. Additionally, Chicago's gangsters, led by Al Capone and Bugs Moran, created empires from bootlegging and transporting liquor and beer. Their tentacles stretched from the Midwest to both coasts and deep into the South as well. With the liquor came the need for illicit places to drink it. Thus, underground clubs, or speakeasies, became the vogue. Gambling, organized prostitution, and loan sharking were part of this illegal liquor culture. Capone became so powerful that most of the police authorities in the cities and towns in which he dealt his trade were bought off. The FBI, under J. Edgar Hoover, fought a huge crime wave, including corruption at the federal level. His response was to create a group of agents empowered to go after the mob, the famous Untouchables, led by Elliot Ness. The temperance experiment was doomed to fail because the country did not want it. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the repeal of the Volstead Act on March 23, 1933. It allowed for the sale of 3.2% beer and some wines. Upon signing the measure, which led to the 21st Amendment to the Constitution, FDR quipped, "I think this would be a good time for a beer." Sometimes broad movements, attempting to cure a social ill or radically change society itself, go too far. For whatever good they do create, the result is often overcompensation. Both the actions and reactions to the sale of alcohol prove that history matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas magazine.